Right, 817 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you along this morning. And as we mentioned, joined by the man, and he takes over these airwaves 2 o'clock every weekday afternoon. Paul Feinbaum joining us now to talk college football. And Paul, you and I, first of all, thank you for being on.
I'm delighted, Sean. It's been too long, but it's always great to reconnect.
It is, and you know, often we're on here talking about the SEC season as it's laid out. We were kind of picking matchups. You and I might go back and forth about some games, but today it's, will there be games? I mean, this, what is going on? We get the rumors of the emergency meeting and going on. What is the future of college football right now on this Monday?
It is extraordinarily bleak, and you know, there's a lot of reasons for it, but let's talk about where we are first. There's a serious move in the Big Ten to cancel the season, put it off the spring, cancel it. Nobody really knows, and that looks real. So that has been going on for a couple of days, and you can imagine that has tipped the balance in college athletics. The reason why it's important is because the Pac-12 usually goes in concert with the Big Ten. So suddenly you could have two of the five conferences out by midweek, and that puts the SEC, the Big 12, and the ACC in a precarious position of do we want to try to convince people it's safe to play if the Big 10 and the Pac-12 are saying it's not? So that's why we are at DEFCON 2, maybe moving toward 1, and that's why a lot of people are reporting that the college football season is just about done. It's incredible to watch. When I was on Friday night, we had the live presentation of the SEC two additional teams. Mm-hmm. So at Friday night at 5 o'clock Mobile time, the college football season pretty much looked alive and well in the South.
And Paul, the big news Saturday with the MAC announcing they're postponing their season became the first FBS division to do so. But in the Power Five, we're talking Big Ten once again. They were the first to announce they were going conference only, and now it looks like maybe the first Power Five to announce they may postpone the season. Why, in your opinion, is the Big Ten leading the way on these issues?
I think there are a couple of specific reasons. The presidents, ultimately, you know, we talk about athletic directors and football coaches, but ultimately, presidents rule these campuses, and they're all in the same business, trying to make money. But they also are going to be a little more careful in the end. And in the Big Ten alone, the president at the University of Michigan is an immunologist. The president at Michigan State is an epidemiologist. So you can bet that the rest of those presidents who may have classic PhDs from Harvard or Brown or wherever are leaning on those two, and I have yet to talk to many people in infectious disease who think it's a good idea to have a college football season.
That's the way it seems it's trending. In your opinion, if the Big Ten and then, like you said, the Pac-12, if they both decide to postpone the fall season, is there a world where the SEC or Big 12 continue with their plan to play?
It's hard to imagine it going very long. I know that as of this morning, the SEC was still holding on and talking to people very early. But you know, this is starting to remind me a little bit of March. Suddenly, remember the Ivy League canceled college basketball, mm-hmm. and then everyone said we're fine. And then 2 days later, after the Rudy Gobert situation in the NBA, it all fell apart. So. I just can't believe that the SEC will want to go it alone or even with a partner. The criticism would just be treacherous and suffocating from the rest of the country.
Yeah, Paul, thinking about the players out there saying, some over the weekend, of course, on social media, saying that they want to play. What about a situation where those that want to play, I imagine the coaches, of course, they want to play. Those that don't want to, they have some, you know, deferral or something like that, no punishment against them, and they keep eligibility or something to that effect. I mean, let the players that want to play play, let the folks that are worried about it stay off the field.
Yes, I mean, a little bit of that is going on. I mean, you've had a handful of players opt out, but it's I don't think it's enough, because you know, what are we really talking about here? If money weren't an issue, this conversation may have been adjudicated a long time ago. But money is an issue. I don't think I need to convince you or anyone in the audience how important college football is. So that's that's always been driving the bus. But the players are gaining a voice, but I don't think it's going to affect the ultimate decision here. It's going to affect the future of college football. The players are talking about a union, and these are things that are absolute nightmares to college administrators, especially in a sport that allegedly is amateur.
Well, that's what I was going to ask next, Paul. I think Matt Hayes with Bleacher Report, he said a athletic director from the Power Five texted him and said that we're all chasing the wrong story, that presidents of these schools are terrified of these players organizing. And then yesterday with Trevor Lawrence and Najee Harris kind of leading the charge with these hashtag we want to play posts and then calling for a players association, how worried are these leaders of the universities about players organizing?
Well, they're worried because while it may not affect the immediate future, it's going to affect the long term. And already in college athletics, you have the name, image, and likeness debate, which is set to go into effect next year, which will pay players for endorsements and things like that. That's taken forever to accomplish. And if you have a players' union, they're going to want money. And that's not something that anyone in the NCAA structure really wants to give them.
Well, speaking of Trevor Lawrence and some of these big players, I want to talk about the fallout if this season is postponed or canceled. How many of these draft-eligible players could you see sitting out if they decide to move the 2020 season to spring 2021?
Well, that's for all the ones who have tweeted how much they want to play. It will be interesting to see if they do play. I bet they won't. I think spring football would be a disaster. First of all, I've covered a lot of spring leagues. It's just the mindset of the public, even without football in the fall, has never been good for the spring. And secondly, the NFL issue is a major card. On top of that, it will affect the next year. You can't have an 8 or 10 game season ending in April or May and then have players ready to roll again for a season that will begin in late August. So do you really want to destroy two seasons to save one? And I don't think it will happen. I mean, I think it will happen in the Ivy League, maybe the MAC, but I have a hard time believing the SEC wants to play in the spring.
And continuing with that fallout question, I know a couple weeks ago the Pac-12 leaders were looking into a possible $1 billion loan for the entire conference if their fall sports weren't played. What would be, first off, I imagine the SEC would need a lot bigger loan for something like that, and then what would be the fallout for other sports on campus? I mean, they're already going through it right now.
It would be a wipeout. Even at the really successful programs, they would be hit hard. I mean, there have been speculation about the effect it would have on budgets. But by the way, it's going to affect everything. I mean, just think about Tuscaloosa and Auburn on a football weekend. Just think about everything that connects to that. I work at ESPN. I mean, I would really rather not think about what it would mean to a company that has thousands of football games on different, whether it's digital or over the air. I mean, it's going to be a hit. It's going to rival the Great Depression when it comes to the college football world.
You know, Paul, you're talking about that. And it's something I've worried about the whole time. People that are in the media that do this, of course, associated directly with the program. But you talk about Tuscaloosa on a game day. The number of dollars that come in there, that come to small businesses, whether they're parking cars, for a little cash on hand, or they're a bar or a restaurant or a souvenir provider or programs or serving the overpriced Diet Cokes there in the stadium. I mean, this affects a lot of people.
Yeah, and I mean, even if the season were to take place, Sean, it would still be bad. But with nothing, it's incalculable. And I mean, you can't help but think about it. I mean, this has been going on now exactly 5 months. So we've all thought about the possibilities. But I mean, I interviewed the mayor of, I think it was Tuscaloosa the other day. I mean, he threw out a number that was, hundreds of millions of dollars in terms of economic impact. That's a lot of money.
Hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, and because you're talking, you're not only talking about football, you're talking about the university.
Yes.
There's no guarantee how active these campuses are going to be this fall either.
That's true. And quick question, this is just your opinion. I mean, no way to know, but you talk about the education of the people at the top here that are saying, no, we're probably not going to play. my wonder is if there was a liability protection. You know, we talk about this on the business side, what they're working or not working on in Washington, on protection for businesses out there on liability. What if there was some kind of blanket protection for these schools if somebody got sick? Do you think that would change the tune?
Yes. I think ultimately when the history books are written on this episode, the liability issue could very well be what people say privately did them in. I mean, if you're general counsel at the University of Alabama, you're probably the last person the president's going down to see. But how can you very well look at the president of Alabama and say this is a good idea? Because you're literally opening up the door, and that's what happened over the weekend with the new medical information. It scared everyone, and that's why I don't think you can reverse this as much as I would like to see it, and I think they're going to try. You can't argue away the medical liability.
Last two questions for me, Paul, because we always wonder, no matter what comes up in the SEC, what do you feel that Nick Saban's personal opinion on all of this is? And also, if we see the Big Ten postpone and see the Pac-12 postpone, do you expect the SEC to be the last to make their announcement public?
Yeah, second question. I think the SEC will probably move in concert with the Big 12 and the ACC. Nobody wants to be the last guy there, especially the SEC, where most of the country already thinks, you know, we would play in the middle of a tsunami. which, by the way, I've covered games in the middle of a tornado before, yes. So I think that's correct. I think Nick Saban has to be pretty angry, and I say that because he's a football coach. He has one of his best teams in Tuscaloosa. I mean, I personally think Alabama would have won the national championship there, and he knows that as well. And so, I mean, he's got to be frustrated. He thinks like a football coach. He doesn't think like a lawyer, an epidemiologist, or even a talk show host.
And there it is. Paul, we appreciate you chiming in, and hopefully it'll be better news next time, but it sounds like it might be until 2021. And then, of course, 2021, is this thing gone or to a point where they have it? Is college football, in your opinion, 2021, we doing college football?
The question I have, Sean, before I go, in September of 2021, will we know the winner of the presidential election?
That's a good question. Which one comes first, the 2021 college football season, or will they have counted the number of mail-in ballots? Paul, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for being on with us, and y'all check him out 2 o'clock this afternoon here at FM Talk 106.5. Be well.
Thanks, guys. A pleasure to be on.
All right, 8:30.